This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Even do it. Is he worth doing that? Get to that coming up. BT and Sal on the Fan. Yeah, a little Van Halen. Crank it up there, Dolby. Let's go a little Friday beat. On the incline bench. All right, Dozy, 70 in each hand. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 1101. Just stares at me when I speak. He didn't even react. Hey, wake Dove. Ace. So, something on the Giants here. We'll get back to the Dominguez calls. Now, I heard this on Boomer and Geo coming in. I'm sure many of you did as well. If you didn't, I'm going to reset this quickly then to give you my opinion. So the Rams and Stafford will meet today at the Rams facility. I mean, listen, obviously, they've given him the green light to kind of sniff around and see what's out there. When you do that, it kind of tells you all you need to know. Their mind is made up for whatever reason. Like, I could sit here and say that, yeah, they seem like they're fairly, past the point of wondering if they should move on from Stafford. It's more like they're going to. And I think it's less important, at least for the Giants and for our local stuff here. I mean, the question really is the why. Like, I know they've got the Super Bowl. I know they want to reset the finances. Because you've got the Super Bowl, you can kind of justify doing something like this and going from, what is it, $24, $25 million, doubling that to $50. Maybe they don't have the appetite for that, whatever it might be. I know it's not because he's a bad guy, a bad player, or a broken down, declining asset. He's still really good. He's all about the team. I mean, he's had some injuries even with the Lions, but he's a baller, man. Now, you want to tell me it's Kelly Stafford's pod? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of that and a little bit about the money and a little bit about maybe getting some draft equity. Whatever it is, that's their decision. But they are obviously amenable to moving on from him. And, it looks like the Raiders have hopped in the lead here. So I'm going to kind of just go off the tea leaves. I think Diana Rossini. Some others have chimed in with some industry speculation that right now the Giants are thought to be underdogs from Matthew Stafford. Okay, that's fine. The most important question at this point, hey, if you're an underdog, you've generally got to do something, I don't want to say radical, but something interesting enough to maybe get you away from underdog status. So that could come in the form of maybe some unexpected, in terms of more draft equity, or more guaranteed money for Matthew Stafford, which would then redirect him and have him pivot emotionally from the Raiders to the Giants right now. I'm not doing either. And I like Matthew Stafford. And I've been saying for well over a month that I thought he would be gone. Although it seemed like for a minute yesterday that the Rams were maybe cooling on that. So this thing's obviously fluid, changing by the day. But I did think they were going to move on from him. And I felt very strongly the Giants should, without saying all in, should be really, really interested in Stafford. And to the Giants' credit, they have been. I don't think you get stupid here. I don't think you get reckless. He's not 27. He's 37. And he's really good. He's not transcendent. So you don't just get stupid. Although when you try to save jobs, as those gentlemen are, maybe they're inclined to do a little bit more than you and I would do if we were in a different position. So I'm not sweetening the pot. I don't know.
What are the Raiders at? 6? Yeah, Saints are 9, Jets 7, Raiders 6. I mean, listen, if the Raiders are willing to give up number 6 for Stafford, go ahead, be my guest. It's idiotic. And there's no way the Giants should mess around and give up 3. No way would I do that. Now, you want to tell me that somehow the Giants, and this would have to come together very quick, but just to look at it from every angle, you want to tell me we wake up tomorrow, the Giants strike a trade with the Chiefs, and they slide back, I don't know, whatever, however many spots, 20-something spots, and they get a lot more draft capital from the Chiefs, and they don't have to give up 3, and they could sweeten things up a little bit here to get Stafford. I mean, again, there's a million ways to do this. That's probably outlandish and very far-fetched, so it's not going to happen. So, no, you don't give up 3. Maybe you sweeten the pot with a few more bucks, but nothing crazy. Some of you already think $50 million is crazy, which I don't. Not with the cap going up $20 million. So now that I tell you what I think is going to happen, and it seems like this will be resolved very soon, maybe by the end of today, I would come close to guaranteeing that when we come in here Monday doing the show, Boomer and Gio in the morning, that Matthew Stafford is an ex-Ram and probably a Raider. That would be my, that's what I bet on right now. Gone from L.A., he's in Vegas. So the fact that the Giants, who are now the underdogs, have been really in the deep end of the pool with Matthew Stafford trying to get him tells you all you need to know about how the Giants feel about Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. They don't like him. Or at least they don't like him enough to justify taking one of them at number 3 or moving up with Tennessee, whatever, or whatever it might be. And now, if that's the case, why would that change just because you don't get Stafford? You shouldn't suddenly say, yeah, you know, even though there's a lot of smoke out there with Shedeur, like, and we wanted Stafford because we don't love either of these quarterbacks, but because we missed out on Stafford, yeah, you know what? Even though we don't love him, we've got some reservations. What the hell? We'll draft him at 3. We'll take Sanders or Cam, whatever it might be. I don't think you do that. So now we've got to get a little deeper into the quarterback pool here, a little further down the road. And if Stafford goes to the Raiders and the Giants elect to pass on either of the quarterbacks here, well, I guess they can conceivably trade back and maybe do a Jackson Dart thing, whatever. But to me, at that point, if they were inclined to go get a veteran and give them $50 million over a couple of years, wouldn't you think that they would probably be very interested in Sam Darnold for $40 million? Like, doesn't that seem to be the plausible pivot? Maybe Justin Fields for 25 or, I don't know, whatever the number might be with him. It just seems like the Giants are going veteran. You know? Now, could they go cheaper veteran like a Jameis and draft, you know, one of these quarterbacks? Yeah, I guess you could do that. But it seems like the Giants will miss out on Stafford. And that stinks. Because the one thing that I never got from you, from many of you, while I agree Stafford's not going to win them a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, certainly not in 2025, I believe there's real value in just becoming competitive and changing the tone in the building. And Tiki's talked about this, and he's right. You know, you've got to... The work environment, the belief in what you're doing, you know, there's got to be some tangible rewards here. And not just rewards for the fans and rewards for ownership and saving, you know, Dable and Shane's behind, but there's got to be rewards and a deeper mental investment in the direction of the franchise and somebody like Malik Nabers and some of these other young players, you know? So there's a lot here, but it just doesn't seem, for now, and things could change, doesn't seem like they're going to get Matthew Stafford. I was getting back to the calls here. BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Rob's in Hoboken, a little Stafford. Got some Dominguez stuff, obviously, as well. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how's it going? I want to say long-time Giants diehard fan, and I want to agree with you on two things. Mm-hmm. One, it would have been great to have Stafford. I don't know if everyone else agrees with that, but I agree. It would have been so fun to have a professional quarterback here. And two, I agree that GM and the coach are not playing for the long-term, fundamentally sound thing for the Giants here. They're just trying to save their jobs and their reputations. And I would love to see something like sign, if you can't get Stafford probably, you know, going to the Raiders, I would love to see sign Russell Wilson, trade back in the draft, get some guys. I know, Wilson. With someone like Wilson, who's a professional at least, you know?
Yeah,
He's not going to make all the bonehead errors, but he'll guide somebody.
Yeah.
Straight back, build from within, and then sign Dart and play ball.
I mean, not terrible. Honestly, Rob, not a terrible plan. And I'm signed with Russell Wilson. There's two aspects of Russell Wilson. Is he going to win you games? No, certainly not like Stafford. But he's going to improve the building. He's accountable. He's a pro. He's all in physically. Like, you know he's going to take his OTAs and his workout stuff seriously. And that matters. But do I really want to watch Russell Wilson play 17 games if he makes it through? Now, listen, maybe you bring in Russ, and if you do something like Jackson Dart or another quarterback, then maybe you get at a different spot. And, you know, maybe even though it wouldn't be an Eli type who you trade up to make number one, maybe it's kind of similar to what the Giants did with Kurt Warner back in the day. Less fanfare for the other quarterback, but, you know, maybe that's a route that you take. Okay. I mean, I'll tell you this. Russell Wilson, I just don't think he's very, very good anymore. And, you know, I'd rather see Stafford. But if Stafford's going to the Vegas Raiders, we got to come up with different plans here. Hence this curveball. I do know that Russ, you know, cutting up film on the practice field as a leader in terms of projecting when he's at that podium, talking about the team after a game, during training camp, he's a very high moral character fiber person. I don't even know if that made sense, but you know what I mean. Let me get Jimmy in Tennessee. Jimmy, Tennessee, huh? Bam, 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 bam.
Hey, BT, man. Love the show, buddy.
Thank you, Jim. What's happening?
Hey, this whole Dominguez-Yankees thing, man, it's the same thing as always. They've got to be the smartest person in the room. They're smarter than everybody else. It's a Yogiism, man. The game is 10% physical, 90% mental. They've jockeyed this kid around, and now he's clenching up like bark on a tree, as tight as bark on a tree, every time a ball's hit to him. What are the two positions on a baseball field where you can see everything? Catcher and center.
Yep.
So he's been playing center since he was 16 years old, and they got this kid. He lost a year with COVID. He lost another big chunk of time with the Tommy John, and now they're trying to jerk him into another position where the ball comes off the bat completely different. The spin rate, you hit banana slices on the golf course.
Oh, yeah, it's my specialty.
Some of those left-handed batters are hitting to them out there in left field.
It's my specialty.
It's stupid.
Yeah, very good at that. Yeah, hooking them into the weeds, pretty good, too.
I hear you, brother. Hey, thanks for the show, man.
Oh, you got it, Jimmy. Love Tennessee. I was out there week two with the Jets and the Titans. Tennessee is absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, I don't really have an answer for you. I've got a couple of theories, and the thing that I keep coming back to is that, you know, it's baseball, the IQ and the mental stuff and the things that there's really no metric for just seems to be lacking a little bit. That's obviously not good. Let me go to Elizabeth. What's happening, Mark, BT, and Sal? How you doing today?
Hey, how you doing, BT?
Good. What's up?
I just want to see you get your opinion. Do you think this has anything to do with if Spencer Jones progresses nicely in the minors this year, ends up coming up midway through the season, and they view him more as a center fielder, so they're kind of forcing Jason to play left field, you know, think or swim, figure it out, because they view Spencer Jones as more of a center fielder?
No, because I don't think they think that highly of Spencer Jones, not to the point that you change the trajectory of the outfield alignment, possibly if things worked out, for, you know, a decade. No, I think the Yankees have real internal concerns about his ability to hit.
Okay. All right, BC. Have a good weekend.
And not a bad thought, though. I was really hyping up Spence a year ago, and the reason why I was so excited is because he never swung and missed, and that was the only knock on him. I mean, Spencer Jones is 6'5". He probably runs a 6'6", 60. He absolutely flies. You know, home to first, flies, easy power, oppo, pull, all that stuff. He looks amazing until you see him try to hit curveballs. Struck out 200 times last year. 200 times. Not 100, two in AA. I mean, that's embarrassing, man. 200 strikeouts in 482 at-bats. It's disgraceful. I don't know how you can. I mean, I'm going to be honest here. How do you ever make it? Whatever the hole, and I could talk about his skills, but I don't really know what why he strikes out the way he does. Is it, does he drift when he swings? Does he not recognize pitches? Does he expand the strike zone? Can he not hit the deuce, the change? I don't know exactly what it is, but I can promise you, when you strike out 200 times in 482 at-bats, you ain't playing in the bigs the next year. You're just not. You're not? Let me get Tony in Middletown. We'll do a little Stafford Dominguez Yankee juggle. What's up, Tone?
What's happening, BT?
Tony.
So here's the situation, right? If we're going to play a scrub like Daniel Jones 40, okay?
Mm-hmm. He's not scrub.
You run to give Stafford $50 million, okay? Mm-hmm. That's a major upgrade, and the dude can sling it around the daggone field and make completions. So that's, to me, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So I mean, there should be – there's no issue with giving him $50 million. So bring him in. Let's go.
Yeah, but hold on a sec, Tony. No. So you and I agree with this. I would definitely give him, you know, $50 million over 2 years, $100 million guaranteed. I'd sign up for it right now. It's not that they don't want to. The Giants are willing to do that. It just seems that he wants to be more of a Raider than a Giant.
Okay, well, if it's up to him, then we got to go with it's really about you got to get a quarterback that can read a defense. If you can get a serviceable quarterback that can read a defense and not throw picks, you can get Joe Flacco to ball with the Giants next year and we'd be a lot better than we were last year.
Joe,
you know what I'm saying? Because he can sling it around and make completions.
Joe Flacco, Tone.
So I'm just saying, you could do something like that.
You could.
And we would be a lot. We would win a lot more games.
How many? So define a lot. You'd win a lot more. How many more games? Well, how many would you win with Joe Flacco?
We would win.
Give me a
eight
number.
Games. Eight. We win eight games with the offense, and if we can get a daggone decent corner and send that bum, Deontay Banks. Hey, Deontay Banks is a bum. We need a number one corner. We have no corners.
Yeah.
If we can get a corner. We'll be a lot better.
Yeah,
okay?
I mean, you can't be a lot worse, Tone. And listen, he's not a bum. I hear you pissed off, but he's not very good. I'm not a big Banks fan. Yeah, you're not going to win 8-9 games with Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco can't move. Then again, Stafford doesn't move too much either, but he's just better at this point. Joe Flacco. Hoff, could you imagine driving to MetLife and Giants are going back to Germany?
Not this year.
Are they going to London? Okay.
Right,
so Hoff is the radio producer, the executive producer. He travels all the time, and he's at the building all the time. Can you imagine? Because a lot of Hoff's weekends are hosting the overnights on a Saturday, sleeping on a couch for an hour, getting his suit or, his clothes and going to the facility, jumping on a bus, flying to Dallas, wherever the Giants are playing. Could you imagine doing that and going to watch Joe Flacco?
Can I imagine? I mean, I probably can imagine that. It'd be a nightmare.
Joe Flacco. Oh, man. There's no way they did Joe. Oh, man. Watching a month, it's Joe. Eddie's on Long Island. Eddie, what's happening, buddy?
How you doing, BT?
Good.
I played center field D1.
Put me in, coach.
I can tell you this right now. I won best defense 2 years in a row.
Oh, here we go, Eddie.
If you're a center fielder,
mm-hmm.
and you have trouble with the corners, you're just not good defensively. And I got news for you.
I hear you.
He's just not good defensively.
I hear you.
And I'll just, they should really trade him now because the warts are going to come out and he's going to be worth nothing. Yeah, you got a bat, but you got a DH. It's not worth anything. A quick Met point.
Yeah, by the way, where'd you play? I'm always curious. Where'd you play ball, Ed?
I played McNeese State down in Louisiana.
I got you. Okay, go ahead. Make your point. Got you.
So I played against Texas A&M, LSU, all those guys.
Okay,
anyway,
yeah, it's real ball.
When it comes to the Mets, yes, sir. When it comes to the Mets, when it comes to the DH spot, it's a wonderful thing to have when you have depth. Why? Because you can shuffle guys in. You can keep people playing. You can have a guy with power one day. You can have a guy with speed the next day. You can keep the other team guessing. And it's a great thing to have to shuffle people in and out. I don't believe in having a steady DH. I think that's a nightmare.
Good stuff, man. Eddie, good call right there. I tend to agree. If you could play, you could play. You could adjust. I mean, you could go from short to second. You can go from second to short. A-Rod could go from short to third. We've seen many third basemen go across the diamond, being functional first baseman. We've seen Robin Yount from short to center. You know, we've just seen many variations of switch. And when you generally know kind of quick, and I know I've got to come up with a better example than this, but and I will at some point, but because I've referenced it twice now. Todd Hundley going from catcher to left was a disaster, right? And you knew it right away. And maybe disaster is a little strong for Dominguez, but maybe not. And it's fairly visible early that his transition just ain't working. And all we could do is point it out. It's up for the Yankees to do something about it. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the Fan. So, you know, the Giants and the Stafford and the Raiders situation, looks like we might get some resolution on that this weekend. And if you lose on Stafford, what are you doing? And please don't tell me Joe Flacco. And Cam Ward, you don't hear this too often. Cam Ward wants to be a Jet. Do I believe him? Get to that coming up as well. BT and Sal on the Fan. All right, it's a Friday here on the Fan, 11:26. BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata. Sal healing up back on Sunday, on Monday. We'll be back together. Get back to these calls here, 888-808-1019. All right, so Cam Ward, I'm trying to remove emotion from this. And just really gauge him on his words and more importantly, I think his intentions. When he spoke very favorably about the Jets at the Combine. All right. So, yeah, okay. It sounds good. Feels good. Feels real, too. I listened to him. And he talked about the roster, so he's done a little homework. Talked about the receivers, the defense not being too far off. Seemed to be pretty enthused with Aaron Glenn. And when they met and you know, Glenn's visions, personality, whatever. And I like Cam Ward a whole hell of a lot better than Shador Sanders. Shador Sanders. I cannot say his name right. I always say Shador. I always forget the Shador. God, it never comes out right. It's pissing me off now. All week this has been happening.
Listen, it's better than how you pronounce Jazz.
Jazz? Yeah, no. Yeah, that hasn't happened in a while. You know, now that Jazz looks like he's batting first here, you're going to have to get it out batting Jazz. So I like Cam. I like Cam a lot. I think he has a chance to be a stud. Shador, definitely don't want him on the Jets, and I don't like him for the Giants either. However, just to advance us a little bit of a different direction, this is so unique. I mean, now, it does complicate things potentially. The Abdul Carter news is not good. Forget about the Titans, who seem pretty inclined to take him at number one, but also the ability for the Jets and the Giants to have access to the quarterback that they want because, you know, Abdul Carter, you know, gonna have surgery, not. Looks like he won't, but, man, how do you draft a kid first overall when you are told, I'm not saying they won't, but you'd have to give this real deep thought to pull that button, push that button, and do it when you know that, you know, he's eventually going to be on the operating table. That worries me. He's gonna do his pro day at Penn State, and at the times and the measurables and the explosions there, maybe that alleviates some fear, but that would give me some real trepidation. But let's just assume that the Titans are still very interested in him. Non-quarterback goes off the board. One. Number two. Now, the Browns obviously remain a wild card. They've got some decisions to make. That's a lot of money that they owe the current quarterback, Deshaun Watson. They, to me, 50-50. I really don't. I have no idea what they're thinking. I think I know a lot more about the Titans and the Giants and the Raiders and the Jets, and I don't know what the Browns are thinking. I don't know if the Browns know what the Browns are thinking. It's part of the reason why they're the Browns. That could get in the way, though, of the Jets. This is a Jets-specific conversation, getting Cam Ward. Now, the Giants, and we talked about this 30 minutes ago. If you missed it, free Odyssey app, hit rewind, get up to speed, and we'll get back to the calls as well. But because the Giants are so aggressively pursuing Stafford, although I don't think they'll get him, the fact that they were willing to give him $100 million guaranteed tells me that they're trying to save their bacon with a veteran and that they don't love the other kids and that they very well might. Listen, if you're going to give, you know, Stafford all that money, maybe give Sam Darnold 80% of that money. All right, so that's the Giants there. And then you get to the four and the five spot. Both teams have quarterbacks, not taking a quarterback. Then you get to six. And number six, Stafford's, in all probability, going to be a Raider. So is it completely, it felt implausible a while ago. Is it completely impossible that somehow Cam Ward, I know Sanders will be there at seven, or I strongly think he will. Is it impossible? impossible that Cam's there at 7. Oh. And if he is, you absolutely have to snatch him up. Must. All right, 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sound on the Fan. Mike's in West Long Branch, New Jersey. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Hey.
I'm a Jet fan, but I did want to weigh in on the Jets and the Giants. I think for the Giants, if they could move back with the Colts, pick up a second and a first rounder next year, mm-hmm. and Anthony Richardson, I think he would be not a huge gamble for them. If the Giants aren't good and Richardson doesn't work out, mm-hmm. they'll probably be in the same spot picking from a better group of quarterbacks next year. And for the Jets at 7, I mean, if it was me, I would either go with that D tackle from Michigan or the tight end from Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, not punt on the quarterback position this year, but I just don't see a long term solution, especially if you don't like those two quarterbacks this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, reaching on the kid, what was he from Ole Miss?
Jackson Dart.
It
depends where you take him. Mike, it depends where you take him. Like if you, I don't know, somehow
trade back. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way you're taking Jackson Dart at 7. There's zero chance. And thanks for the calls. No way. You know, can they maybe pull the Ravens and find a way to get back another pick into the you know, back of round one? And maybe if you like Jackson Dart, that's a way to secure him for that fifth year if you want to, with the fifth year option, which is what Ozzie Newsome did for the Ravens and obviously paid massive dividends, though he's yet to win the Super Bowl. He's a stud. I don't know. I mean, I know the Jets need a tight end. I know the Jets need another great defensive lineman, somebody who could stop the run. I don't know that the Jets need a lot, but there's definitely some real positions of need, and you could address one of them maybe by hitting the grand slam at 7. Or maybe you can get your quarterback if you love Cam Ward. Marco's in Fairfield, Connecticut. Marco, what's happening?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT, first time, long time. Nobody talking baseball like you do, and I really learned a lot just listening to you. And when you were talking about Dominguez and how stuff is getting into his head, that's when I was looking back and saying, this is sort of like Moneyball in his flashbacks when he was young, coming up, playing, how stuff got into his head. Mm-hmm. And I think the Yankees are making that same mistake, except you're obviously a different player. But if you put somebody outside their comfort zone, I think it's a disaster. So I think these guys should reevaluate where they want to put this kid because he's very young. How old is he?
I think he's 21. 21, 22, 21. He's young.
I mean, imagine what you did at 21. I mean, I'm 52, maybe. So for me, it's at 21 and you mess with the head. That can, I mean, and while you were talking, I've been on hold for a while when you mentioned it a while ago, and I said, this is like Billy Bean. Young kid, promising, 5-tool player, amazing, all this stuff. And next thing you know, he's not panning out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because stuff is in his head. And so, yeah, I'm listening to you a long time.
I got you.
Learned so much on baseball. I think, you know, the fan is lucky to have you. And yeah, great show.
That's really nice. Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate that. I mean, this certainly applies to every sport, but it's probably more so in baseball. The baseball graveyard, so to speak, is littered with thousands over the years. 5-tool prospects who, many of whom we never heard of, a little different now, the digital age, obviously, some of you really follow the minors, whatever, but it's just hard, man. It's hard. And you get drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies or the Pistons, you're going to be in the NBA. You might not be around for 10 years, but you get to play. And, you know, you're a first-round pick or a second-round pick or a third-round pick in the NFL, you're getting on the field at some point. Might not get that second contract, but you'll play. Baseball, you might not ever see the kid. It is just an unforgiving sport. It's so hard. Let me get Sal in Franklin Square. But it shouldn't be hard to put the kid in the right spot. That's the whole point. What's up, Sal? How you doing?
How you doing today? I love the show. Doing a great job.
Thanks.
Quick question is, my first question is basically, I disagree with you. I would not draft Stafford. I believe that you need a young quarterback. It's the first couple of years you save money on that. I believe the Giants will get Sanders, and I think that's the route we should go.
Mm-hmm.
And we can put money towards other positions because I think we have a lot of holes with the Giants.
Yeah, you
and
do.
I believe we're not going to be winning anytime soon.
Why not?
Why not? I think we have one of. I think it's probably the NFC East division is probably the hardest in football. It's just my personal opinion.
It's definitely very good. I want to see a little more from the Commanders before we anoint them a double digit win team forever.
Correct.
And what the hell's going on in Dallas? I mean, Dak is getting older. No. He's got a ton of money. They're a disaster. The Eagles are really 100%. Good. Eagles.
100%. The Eagles, of course, are very good. I just think Washington hit with the Daniels. Listen, it's a crapshoot. I really don't think these experts know what they're talking. You know, with Sanders, anything's possible. You never know.
Yep.
And I think there's a chance. You just have to take that chance and draft a young quarterback.
Well, hold on, now, Sal. I got to disagree with you here. You say you have to take that chance. I think there's other teams that are more in a position to embrace what you just said. For the Giants to just quote unquote take that chance. I mean, you're signing your death ticket. You're gonna get fired.
No, I think I believe my personal opinion that if the coaching staff and the GM don't sign, We had 3 wins last year. If we don't have at least 6 wins, they're going to be fired regardless.
Well, I don't measure it not. Well, I'm going to disagree again slightly. Yeah, good call. Appreciate the pushback there, Sal. We'll see you a little differently. I don't know that it's based solely on volume of wins. I think it's probably more if they draft the quarterback and it's obvious that they drafted the right one, but there's just other holes on the roster, they probably get another chance. If they win 6 games and they absolutely draft the wrong, like if it's Sanders and he's just swimming and he's a mess, or even if it's Cam Ward, he's a mess, or it's Dart at 15 and he's an absolute mess, I think they're gone anyway. But I don't know if I attach an absolute win total to it. I think it's more the optics, and I think that that's what Mara's thinking as well. Frank's in Lyndhurst. Frankie, BT and Sal, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, BT?
Good, Frank.
So listen, I'm listening to your show now, and I know it's all a mental game. But what I'm saying is, I know a lot of guys when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
You just, like, you're an athlete. You just move. You react.
Mm-hmm.
You've been playing since, you know, Sandlot, the whole bit.
Okay.
A lot of dumb guys. I was probably one of them, too. I was an athlete. I could, if you get into the game, you play it. And when you're making that much money,
yeah,
my God, get your head straight. I mean, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're a pro. You should be a pro.
All right, now, Frank, here's the thing, though. I'm not saying I completely disagree. And listen, I appreciate, like, if you say, oh, yeah, you know, BT, you played back in the day. What I played and what you played, Frank, is nothing close to what these guys are playing. I mean, let's just keep it real. And, like, yeah, I can only speak for myself. Like, I put a ton of pressure on myself in college, and it actually ruined me. But I didn't have the pressure of an entire organization. Yeah, that's a next level ability to compartmentalize multiple big level things. Like, you know, my biggest juggle in college was, oh God, I had a brutal day and I looked awful in front of my dad, my ex-girlfriend, and I'm just not the player I want to be. But that really bothered me. But it's not like I've got, you know, I've been in a system since I was 16 and I'm the uber prospect and I'm a 5'2 kid and now I'm out there with, I mean, I did that. I failed in anonymity. I failed in front of 100 people against Iona or whatever it might be. I mean, this is the weight of the world on the, athletically speaking, on this young man's shoulders. And I know he's got a few bucks in his pocket and I know he's a great athlete, but don't minimize the external and then what become internal pressures that none of us can relate to at this station except Boomer and Tiki. There's a big difference. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the Fan. Get back to the calls. Want to give you a little Johnny's note as well. I'll get to that coming up next. Also, something on the Mets a little later. So we're doing a little dance, jumping around. It's good fun Friday. BT and Sal on the Fan. All right, 15 sound back on the Fan, 11:46. Look at how dipping into the old warrant files. Nice. 888-808-1019 is the number. Going to get back to these calls. Quarterback stuff, Jets, Giants, Dominguez on skates and left. All right, so I didn't even really think about this until I saw something digitally. I'm like, I didn't calculate that at all. And it's about St. John's, and I want to flush something out here and ultimately give you my opinion. So you know that St. John's obviously secured a co-share of the Big East regular season title, first time since 91-92. Now, if they beat Seton Hall tomorrow or if they beat Marquette next week, then they will have secured their first Big East title outright since 85. And yeah, that's the year that they went to the Final Four with Mullen and Coach Lou Carnesecca. So, I didn't even really think that this would be a talking point or even necessarily an option because, quite frankly, it's been so long, I don't even know the protocol of celebration, quite frankly. But I was reading some things this morning, and I guess Rick was asked about it, or maybe he preemptively offered the appeal. I'm not sure if he did that, but he definitely talked about this, where if St. John's wins tomorrow, because the following week it's at Marquette, if they win tomorrow and do secure that first outright share since 85, that they would not cut down the nets. And of all the things that Rick Pitino has done and said, that is the only one that I vehemently disagree with. I really do disagree. I think when you look at the snapshots of this program, right? And you see it when you walk into Cardasec Arena. Now, you know, it's obviously old and obviously, you know, it's warm. And if you've been there, you know what I mean. It's hot as hell and the chairs aren't that comfortable. They need to upgrade something at some point. Although if they keep selling out the Garden, you just play there. But it's an older, and I'll use the word venerable out of respect, building. And you walk in and the Louis statues, I love that. That's gorgeous. That is so well done. It's beautiful. And the other stuff is cool. You know, you've got some old trophies from Lapchick's days and some jerseys, some Mullen stuff, some Walter Berry stuff from the Wooden Award trophies and Felipe and Mark Jackson, something on Malik. But it's all old. Louis sweater, it's all old, obviously. So to me, I don't know if they'll do this. It seems like they won't. But if St. John's wins tomorrow, and they should, Seton Hall's in a really rough spot. I don't even know what St. John's is favored by, but it's got to be 13, 14, 15, whatever the number's going to be. You know, I think you cut down the nets. And I don't think you cut down the nets necessarily for Rick Pitino, or you don't cut down the nets for Kadari Richmond or Zuby or R.J. Lewis or Wilcher or anybody else on that team. You cut down those nets for the fans that didn't abandon the program when so many, they had every reason to do it. And a lot of people did. That's why there are a lot of games with the 7,000, 8,000 people at the Garden. And the relationship several times between us was kind of being reevaluated from the Garden's perspective. Like, is this worth it anymore? We're not making money. And I really am disappointed strong because it doesn't impact me. I mean, I'll be on the call with Mink and it will be great to see it and right in front of me. I'll be in the Garden. But I really think, without going over the top, I'm not sure it's saying that you climb to the backboard like Willie Glass did and David Russell, but you cut down the net, and then you put the net in the trophy case, and then you create some other images that you can now splash around Cardasecca and digitally, and you have forever. You know, and you've heard me say this. For me, listen, win or lose, I'm getting paid either way, but you know what's more enjoyable? It's seeing St. John's prosper, right? It just became sad over the years watching and really old. And I say this with respect, but I was just getting tired. I didn't want to hear any more about 85. I didn't want to hear about it anymore. You know, how many times can you conjure up something from 40 years ago? So cut down those nets. Cut them down. Get a big red scissor. Get the ladder and cut them down at the Garden. Do it. I really hope Rick reconsiders on that. First, you got to win. I know Seton Hall's not good, but there's still a college basketball team capable of something happening. You never know. Win the game and then create a new memory. It has been way, way too long. Hope they do it. 888-808-1019 is the number. It's BT and Sal. Let's get back to you. Stick right here in Manhattan, Matt, on Matthew Stafford. What's up, Matty?
Hey, what's up, BT? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I got you.
What's going on, man? Happy Friday.
You too.
So when it comes to Stafford, all four, and I've been going to Giants. My buddies have season tickets. I've been going to games for past 3 years. And I can't even tell you how many times I've left that stadium, walking out, getting called everything under the sun. When it comes to Stafford, by the opposing fans, I might add. Mm. When it comes to Stafford, all four getting some sort of consistency, a Super Bowl winner back under center. I mean, you got to do whatever it takes. The $50 million a year, the cap it, whatever. I'd be a little more apprehensive when it comes to any first round draft picks,
yep.
But you got to get some guy in there that can perform. I mean, it's been forever, freaking forever. Come on. We got to get him in there.
I don't think he's coming. I think he's going to go to the Raiders. So what's your next plan? I know the Giants want him, but I think he's going to go to the Raiders.
I guess I've heard a little bit about the Titans potentially maybe trading back. Obviously, Giants and Titans, I think, are in the same boat when it comes to a lot of holes to fill on the roster.
I think the Giants have more talent, I personally, but keep going. I myself think the Giants have a little more talent than Tennessee.
Okay. Fair. Probably maybe a few more playmakers. I just think, but the Titans find themselves at a question mark with the quarterback too, right? I mean, you know, they trade down, they get a few more picks, continue to build out their roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Browns end up going quarterback, and then honestly, you know, when it comes to Ward or Sanders, I think the Giants end up taking one of them. I think I'd probably be inclined more to go just veteran. I mean, especially with Shane and Daboll, you know, kind of hanging by a thread in terms of their jobs. But I don't know. I would be apprehensive to give up that third overall pick, I guess, when it comes
down.
So
would I. I would, too. I totally agree. Now, if I could go from – thanks for the call there, Matt. If I can go from, say, 3 to – not that the Jets are the job. I was going to say 3 to 7. They won't trade. But 3 to – let's say the Giants trade with the Saints. Saints at 9. Yeah, I mean, that's something that could be appealing because I could still get a real difference. I can get a star. You got to pick the right one, but I can get a star, and then I've got more assets. So I don't think there's any perfect move. Stafford to me, like, it wasn't a desperate Hail Mary because he's not 40, he's not 30, but he's not 40. He's one. He's still really good. He's a pro. I think it would change just the way the Giants feel, you know? I mean, you know, it just changed the way they're perceived a little bit to maybe galvanize that building, which to me is why it's the right move. But if they, I mean, they can only do so much. You can't, like, get to the point where it's like, all right, you know what? You know, we need Stafford so bad that, man, there's no way we wanted to give up our third pick. But, geez, if he's going to go to the Raiders, all right, take 3. No, that's idiocy. You're not going to do that. I don't know what they're going to do if they don't get him. How about Sean in Orlando, down south on the Free Odyssey app? What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, BT? How's it going, brother?
What's up, man? All's good here. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm all in on the Stafford, but, like, I'm, like, with you. I just read Ian Rappaport just tweeted, like, 5 minutes ago saying it's more likely he's going to stay with the Rams. Don't know how true that is.
Is that what Rappaport? I didn't see that. Is that what Rappaport just tweeted?
Yeah, he said it's more likely than before that he's going to stay with the Rams. But thing with the Giants is I'm not in love with either the quarterbacks. I'm more of a Cam Ward person than Shador.
Yeah, me too.
But if I'm the Giants, you don't love these guys, why don't you float a 4th, 5th round pick and take a quarterback like Joe Milton? Because I heard that now the Patriots are more open to moving him. And I figure I think he has more upside than Shador. And he, like, I'm not a big believer in, like, one game with a person, but I do like the arm talent and the agility that he showed.
Oh, he's big too. He's a big boy. 6'5".
He's 6'5", 247.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's a big boy.
I know.
Strong arm. Like, if you don't love these other quarterbacks, you can still take a stud at 3 or trade back and get more assets.
Yep.
And then maybe I'm thinking a fourth round pick for Millen since he was, what, a 6th rounder last year?
Yeah, but here's the problem there, Sean. Now, and I know this basic stuff, and I know you know this, but you want to make a trade, right? It's got to work both ways. So, yeah, I mean, if you could get Milton from New England and whatever, 4th round, whatever it might be, of course the Giants should do that. Why would the Patriots do that? They're paying them absolutely nothing. They know they've got a competent backup. So why would they do it? I don't think they would do it unless the Giants incentivize with, you know, some draft stuff, which I don't know if I'd want to do if I'm the Giants. All right, let's see, Rappaport. All right, this was within the last hour here. He's sitting now. Interesting, because he just tweeted this, but he wrote from last night. A Matthew Stafford decision looms, and his return to the Rams feels more likely to those involved. Nothing final, but clearly more likely than a few days ago when it appeared he was set to leave. All right. So now that is in direct competition with what Diana Rossini's thinking, that it looks like the Giants are the clear underdogs, and not to put words in her mouth, but this is the basis of the tweet. And the Raiders are going all out to try to get him, and it looks like he could be a Raider. So, I don't know. The Rappaport tweet there. That just came out. It came out 49 minutes ago. Yeah. You got it there, Bogey?
I will in a second.
Yeah. He just, Rappaport had this. Let's see. So, I guess he quote tweeted himself. He had something from 13 hours ago, and I'm not watching the video, but there is a video, all options on the table, blah, blah, blah. This includes, per the inside, a return to L.A., and I would imagine all options, including the Raiders and the Giants. And then 40-something minutes ago, nothing looms final, but his return to the Rams more likely to those involved. All right.
So this thing is obviously very, very fluid. It is 11:57 on the Fans. BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. 888-808-1019 is the numbers. Get an update here from Bogus. We'll come back, and then we'll get the update from Bogus in a minute. Come back, get back to the calls. Some Yankee stuff with Dominguez, the quarterback stuff, the draft, the combine, a little Johnny's as well. They should cut down the nets if they win. That is my opinion. BT and Sal on the Fan. All right, 12:03 back on the Fan. Time to hit with the king topic of the day. And the king topic of the day is morphing from a little teeny tiny pebble into a boulder. And that is Mr. Dominguez out in left field, who is an absolute mess. And, yeah, as we know, the first part of solving a problem is admitting that you have one. And I think it's time the Yankees do that. Well, even let me be a little more specific. They don't have to admit to us, but their actions need to start dictating that they know that they've got a problem.